On a Tuesday night, the smell of stir-fried noodles and vegetables fills the cafeteria at Woonsocket's Hamlet Middle School. The voices of adults speaking in different languages echo off high ceilings. Children laugh and scream and chase one another. For them, school is over. But for their parents, grandparents, and aunts and uncles here, class is about to begin. Organizer Nitaya Senboot uses a chant to call the adults to attention as the children are ushered into classrooms for homework help.
Oh, le, le, le. Oh, la, la. So we are going to start, but just a quick...
Senboot works for the Providence-based Center for Southeast Asians, a nonprofit organization that's putting this workshop together. The adults listen attentively to the night's presenter, Pitsamai Oi, an education professor at the University of Massachusetts Lowell. She's there to teach them the rights of parents in the U.S. school system.
The second objective is that you will increase your knowledge about how to advocate for your children.
Oi stops every few minutes as interpreters translate what she's said into the adults' native languages, including Khmer, a language spoken in Cambodia, and Lao. It makes for a long workshop, but it's a rare opportunity for these families to hear every word in a familiar language. As her translator finishes, Oi continues in English.
You should receive progress reports. You should be able to have at least one parent-teacher conference, and also have access to the school staff.
American schools expect parents to be heavily involved in their children's learning, an idea foreign to many of the adults here. Oi says there's a cultural deference for teachers among Southeast Asians and an assumption that parents who aren't teachers themselves have little to offer.
But the teacher's saying, no, you have to talk to your child about what they're learning. And the teachers have this expectation that the parents are going to be helping with that process. And then some of our Southeast Asian refugee and immigrant parents are saying, I have no experience in the U.S. school system. I don't have that knowledge. So how can I possibly help them?
Oi tells them to check in with their kids regularly about what's happening in school. She says parents should also contact the school to ask about meetings and to make sure translation services are available. But Oi says she hopes schools take the time to learn a bit more about the cultural world of their Southeast Asian students.
Really, the parent involvement model is based on a stay-at-home white middle-class model. So you have to be able to speak English, you have to be able to read any of the communication, and you have to be able to be available during the times that schools are available.
And try making sense of a school handbook, rarely translated into Southeast Asian languages. In the cafeteria, Oi holds up an example from the Woonsocket Public Schools.
We're going to actually give you the handbook now so you have some time to look at what is in there. Because even if they give it to you, if you don't know how to read it, it's not going to be any use.
The parents and guardians split up into groups. Each group is assigned a section of the handbook to decode. Laos native Cassandra Pimahom has an 8-year-old son she's raising in Woonsocket. She explains some parent-teacher conference policies that she reviewed with her group.
Okay, for the red team, parents and teacher conference, for some parents, they did not know that the school have twice a year of the parents and teacher conference and one open house. Definitely not everybody know about that.
In the discussion, Oi explains parent conferences are designed to update families about progress in school, but they're also an opportunity to ask questions, set goals, or raise concerns. She demonstrates with an example.
You know what? Johnny's doing great. He's not crying. He's doing well. But I noticed that he's not being challenged. My kid is a smart kid, but he's bored. Is there anything else you could do?
Another issue is the emotional well-being of children, which education experts say is a key part of academic success. Dr. Jayshree Nimagada, a professor of social work at Rhode Island College, is also raising two kids of her own.
My children are teenagers, so, I'm in the rough phase right now. But
Nimagada tells the audience raising her children in America has been vastly different from her own upbringing in India, where there was less focus on the emotional health of children.
But if the child said, you know what, I have a headache or I have a stomachache, right? How do I respond? Oh, my God, what did you eat last night? What did you have? Is your head hurting here? Is your head hurting there? So we respond to physical illnesses very differently than when a child says, I am worried about an exam.
But in the United States, Nimagada finds parents spend a lot more time addressing such concerns.
So when I was raising my second child, I was more conscious about focusing on feelings. So every time he was, he would demand something or he's not getting along, I would focus on, so it seems like you're frustrated. Let's talk about your frustration.
Now she says her son is good about expressing himself. But she says when the family visits India, relatives make fun of him for being so open with his feelings.
And so that's the difference, you know, that we are raising them here and we have to make some decisions about context. There is no right way or wrong way. Right? It's about how do we help our children function in this context.
Kampu Saisit lives in Woonsocket. She was born in Laos and has five children. The youngest is five, the oldest is 18. Her teenage daughter has been struggling with math, but since starting this workshop, Saisit's changed her approach and checks in with her every day about how the class is going.
Before I would drill her, I would yell at her and I say, this is not acceptable. But then I learned how to tone myself down. Because I want the best for my kids. Who doesn't? You know what I mean?
Saisit's daughter may still be struggling with math, but now she's getting help from her teacher. These parents do want the best for their children, so much so that they're willing to try a style of parenting different from their own upbringing. Organizers hope that while these parents work to adapt to American schools, the schools will also work to adapt to them. John Bender, Rhode Island Public Radio.